from Parashat Bechukotai. Yemes Yaakov and Perek Avav Pasuk Lamed Aleph is in the context of Shemitah. And he's kind of bothered by a certain Rashi in this Parsha. There's a Rashi, actually it's on the next Pasuk after this one, where Rashi says that Hashem was really bothered by Am Yisrael's lack of observance of Shemitah. He says that during Bayit Rishon, during the times from when they got into Eretz Yisrael until the Korban, they didn't observe Shemitah. That's 490 years. So 490 years they didn't observe Shemitah is 490 divided by 7, 70 years. And therefore, the galut that was between the two Batei Mikdash was 70 years. It was a punishment for the 70 years that they didn't observe Shemitah.
Wait, but there's also Yovel.
It doesn't say they didn't observe Yovel.
No, I'm saying that you have to divide 490 by 50.
Let's focus on that. Okay. Anyway,
sorry,
that's the drush that Rashi has.
You get multiplied by 7.
So the Amos of Yaakov is kind of bothered by this. It says, Enam Estaber Klau. Who were the kings who were leading Am Yisrael at that time? There was David, and there was Shlomo, Yoshiahu, Yehoshaphat. I don't know. You're going to tell me that all these wonderful... Yes, I understand there may have been some bad ones at some point, but these leaders of the Jewish people, people under them didn't observe Shemitah. They were working their land during Shemitah. He didn't accept that as a premise. So, he says, to understand this, we have to go back and look at the context where this Parsha appears. In Parshat Bahar, and it's a double Parsha, so it is relevant to us as well this week. So Parshat Bahar begins with the mitzvah of Shemitah Yovel. Then it continues to Gulat Karkot. It continues the discussion of Batei Arechoma and Avadim, as in redeeming ancestral lands, redeeming houses in walled cities and unwalled cities, and selling and acquiring of slaves. So Rashi, Perek Vav Pasuk Aleph, the beginning of Bahar, says this is a slippery slope. If you don't observe Shemitah properly, you're going to end up having to sell all your stuff. Sell all your stuff, you're going to sell all your lands, even your ancestral lands, even your home. You still don't repent from Shemitah, so it's going to end up, you're going to have to sell yourself as a slave. So, it all relates back to it. The Amos Yaakov says that the connection there is that each of those it's not just a slippery slope like Rashi has, but each of those has a din that's related to Shemitah and Yovel. Meaning slaves go free at Shemitah, or meaning there's a process they could go through to remain a slave, but then they go free at Yovel. The ancestral lands return to their original owner at Yovel, etc. The Gula Karkot, when he discusses the price for a field, so the Pasuk says that you shouldn't be charging, like, let's say this is a really great Sadeh, but I know there's only 3 more years until Yovel. I shouldn't charge you the price of somebody who's going to get to use this land for 50 years. I have to charge you the price of somebody getting for 3 years. But again, all these are related to Shemitah and Yovel. So he says there's a connection between all of this discussion in the Parsha. He says now we understand the placement of this Parsha. The Chukotai comes right after Bahar. Bahar was Shemitah. Here's what happens if all the punishment, everything that relates to Shemitah, you read the slippery slope that will happen if you don't observe Shemitah, comes B'chukotai and says, Im Chukotai Teilechu. And what does Rashi comment? What do you mean, B'chukotai Teilechu? We already, somebody's going to not be the kind of mitzvah? No. Rashi tells us, Shetiyu Amelim B'Torah. We have to exert ourselves, put an effort into learning Torah. So in other words, the continuation of the discussion of Shemitah is learning Torah. As in, for 1 year, you are not going to be working your land because it's Shemitah. What are you going to do with that time? I gave you that year off of working your land. not only to test her bitachon and Hashem, what am I going to eat the next 3 years? Oh, Hashem has to promise you, don't worry, you'll have plenty of food. It's not only about bitachon, it's also about an opportunity to be able to learn Torah. I know Rav Rimon told me that he spoke in the Knesset to try to get Knesset funding to help farmers deal with Shemitah. And he said, you can't just talk about the halachot. Not everybody is yet from. So you have to sometimes present the beauty behind the ideas. So he spoke about a year off to help the people, you know, connect to the land and their families, and a year of personal growth. And he spoke about the environmental benefits of leaving the land fallow is apparently good for the land every so often to get more nutrients. And he spoke about the halachot and the psukim and the actual Torah behind it. But he says, when you emphasize the other stuff too much, it led to one of the Chavri Knesset came up to him afterwards and says, that's great. Let's do it also for the fishing industry, because that will replenish all the fish and it'll be great for the ecosystem. So he was like, no, it's about a mitzvah. So, okay, but anyway, that was a side point. I think he got something, I don't know. Whatever he got. That was all sidetracked. Sorry about that. But it's all about learning Torah. So, at the end of Shemitah, the year after Shemitah, there's a special mitzvah called Hakel, in which all of Am Yisrael gathers in the Mikdash to hear the Torah being read. He said, there's a connection here as well. After this year of learning Torah, of everybody reconnecting to the Torah since they're now working the land, so everybody has gone through some kind of spiritual journey. And the culmination of it, if everybody spent a year learning, you need some kind of siyum. You need a big celebration. He says that's what Hakel is. It's the end, the culmination of this process of all of Am Yisrael's spiritual growth. He says, with that in mind, we can now understand Rashi. Rashi says they didn't observe 70 Shemitot, so they were punished with the 70 years of Galut. And he says, it's lo yitachin that they all worked the land those 70 years. No, they were very machmir. They had all sorts of shotrim running around making sure nobody worked the fields, but they didn't use their Shemitah properly. They didn't necessarily utilize the time that they weren't working the land to sit and learn Torah, to learn as much Torah as they possibly could. And this explains why the Bukotai is immediately after the story of Shemitah in Bahar. This is the Hemshech of the Parshio. After I've commanded you to rest in the seventh year from all the work, I now have to command you, Imichugotai Telechu, are you going to be Amelim Batorah? And now we can understand the punishment. 70 years of Galus for not properly learning Torah. And it could be, where are the Galus? Galus Bavel. You know, maybe that was where they built the foundations to eventually have the Talmud Bavli. But 70 years was to make up for the time they weren't learning Torah when they should have been. And it's an important message about free time. If you have a year off from work, if you have vacation, if you have not only a year, you have a day of vacation, 2 weeks, Ben Azmanim, whatever you're doing this summer, if it's a time not used constructively, yes, rest can be therapeutic. I'm not disputing that part of it. But if it's bereft of Torah, if it's Torah free time, that's really not an appropriate use of your free time. That's really not a constructive use of your vacation from a Torah standpoint. You leave Torah for a day, it leaves you for two. It's not becoming of what we should be doing with our vacations. That we learn from the placement of Imchugotai Telechu immediately after the slippery slope of Shemitah.